Matt Stapp, the Tep and Step season previews are back. Do you think America is ready for this?
America, turn off the Olympics and listen to Tep and Step.
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber and tuning in to the number one rated Olympics podcast. That's people don't know that about us, but we are Olympics junkies.
We are. We are, actually. I'm very much an Olympic. I'm locked into, you know, Team USA. Kind of locked into Canada, you know, for, I guess, I keep an eye on
you. You kind of have to.
Yeah, kind of have to. Yeah,
But we were having a conversation.
I'm getting real xenophobic over here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know, nothing America or nobody else.
Nothing
gets
you fired up about international politics quite like the Olympics.
Yeah, super.
We were talking about this, and you told me in confidence before we came on the air that you don't like sports that are judged.
Mm-hmm.
Is this so? I want you to walk this out for me. Like, explain to me your thought process behind this. I don't disagree with you, by the way.
I just like to either be able to keep score
mm-hmm.
or know, like, a winner and loser. That's not subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. There's subjective elements to penalties in football and fouls in basketball, but in essence, there's a score being kept, mm-hmm. you know, who wins or loses. In track and field, there's a race or mm-hmm. swimming. You're racing.
If you're the fastest, you win.
You wins, yeah. So, I don't think, like, gymnastics, diving, those athletes are not athletic and they aren't amazing. But I just don't enjoy those sports as much.
I get it. Because you're waiting on somebody's opinion, basically.
Yes. And then our esteemed colleague, Ms. V&A, off the air, mentioned boxing. I think, or did you mention boxing?
I mentioned boxing, but that's okay. Give it to V&A.
But, yeah. Basically, it's like, you like boxing, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, that's judged. And I'm like, you kind of got me in a blender there, because I do like boxing.
Got you flipping your hips.
But, I mean, you know, there is a knockout. So, you
that's
know,
the thing.
I don't like it when it goes to the judges. I want to see somebody get knocked the F out.
Yeah. So same thing with like MMA.
Why I watch boxing.
Like that.
Who watches boxing to go to the judges' scorecard?
Yeah.
You watch a fight. It's
to see a KO.
Yeah, it's the caveman in us. We want to see somebody get knocked out.
Now I want to be clear. This does not apply to, like, referees, in the sense of, like, there are times in a boxing match where a referee will be like, okay, that's it. Like, he's had enough and stuff like that. Yeah. That is a judgment call, but you're saying
you know. You know.
And yeah. Okay. That's fine. Okay. That's a brave take.
It is. It's, you know, like I said, I appreciate the athleticism and the talent of gymnasts and divers. I mean, if you want to see the talent of divers, go look up, like, high dive fail and watch dudes basically do belly flops off of a
10
platform. And it's, then somebody who really is really good at it does like 7 flips and has no splash.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's a talented person.
Hank is into, Hank was watching synchronized diving this morning. Hank's really into the Olympics. He was watching synchronized diving mm-hmm. and he was just like, again, he's 5.5, but he's like, okay, I could not do that.
Yeah.
He recognizes, like, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is your inaugural 2024 season preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, a breakdown of Class 1A and Class 2A, region by region, team by team. We're going to predict every game for each classification.
Yeah, week 1 through week 11, every game.
Every team. That's exactly
Let's go.
Right. All right.
Plains versus Smyre, week 6. Let's do it right now. Plains versus Smyre.
A programming note, you may have noticed that there was not an episode from THSEA Coaching School and Convention. I can explain that. We had some technical difficulties.
You broke the machine.
I broke the machine. I stared too hard at it is what happened. It is my devilish good looks just blinded the machine. So unfortunately, that audio has been lost to the ages. But I will tell you, I'm a little disappointed it's not going on, because I thought some of the really brave takes that you had. I mean, I thought it was crazy you did your 10 least favorite high school football teams.
Yeah, and the 10 coaches that I hated the most.
Absolutely.
And also the 10 towns that have terrible food.
Absolutely. You were ripping and running.
I was hot taking it left.
It was crazy. But
if you want us to repeat that episode, hit me up on Venmo at Matt-Step-1. And maybe if the price is right, we'll recreate that episode. Look, as a great man once said, everybody's got a price. That's Ted DiBiase who said that.
Do the big, and I was doing the Ted DiBiase laugh.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway,
hit me on Venmo.
We apologize for that, but don't worry, football season is here because we have five.
We'll be here every week. That's actually going to be recording. Do you want to? We're going to be recording twice a week for a couple of weeks because we've got I've got vacation.
Yeah, we're going to have. We're recording this on July 30th, but we are going to spread these five episodes out over the next like 4 weeks.
Sure.
So we're going to kind of shimmy and shake.
You're
going to
get all the tep and step that you want.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry, sweet pea.
Yeah, just pat you on the head and just say you're going to get all the tep and step.
Tussle your hair and tell you you're pretty. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we start this episode as we always do, Matthew, with your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week presented by Country Meats. They haven't told me not
okay.
to. Thanks, Country Meats. Country Meats.
We should ask Scoops.
Go to countrymeats.com. Use the promo code STEP10 to get 10% off your first order. Make fundraising easy and delicious at countrymeats.com. Go to countrymeats.com. Use the promo code STEP10.
Do you have a new favorite meat stick?
Matt Stepp, your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week.
I still like spicy barbecue.
It was October 23rd, 2015, that the Mart Panthers last lost a district game. It was the only district game that Kevin Hoffman has actually ever lost as head coach at Mart.
Okay, okay.
Which is a fun fact. There's
that
a,
is
fun
a fun fact.
Fact.
2015, were they? I'm trying to think if they were. They had to be 2A.
Matt Stepp, who did they lose to?
Boskyville.
Good guess, but no. I'll give you one more guess. Needless to say, it's a district game, so
yeah.
Central Texas.
It's going to be someone in Waco.
Mm-hmm. I will give you a hint.
Okay. I'll take
they
a hint.
Let me make sure I get this right. They are no longer in their district. In fact, they are no longer in their division.
Yeah, because Mart's Division 2 now.
Mm-hmm.
This Mart in 2015, Mart was Division 1. Holland?
It's an excellent guess, Matthew, but it's not true.
Damn it.
In October 23rd, 2015, the final score, Mart nil, as they would say in soccer. Mart nil. Crawford 21.
Oh, Crawford, yeah.
Crawford beat Mart 21-0. It was their last district game. They've now won 44 consecutive district games.
Hey, if you ask me who Alito's last district loss was to, I know who Alito's last district loss
was
to.
Hey, Matt, Steph, who was Alito's last district loss to?
That's the mighty, mighty Everman Bulldogs.
E-block.
That's right, baby.
In the building. All right, there it is.
We'll get to that in 5A.
Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. Yeah, it's like four episodes from now.
Yeah, sorry.
But Matt Stepp, we are going to continue or begin our stroll through the Texas High School football landscape.
It's a nice leisurely stroll.
If you're listening to this, you probably have your 2024 summer edition of Dave Campbell's
Thank
Texas
you.
Football. So you can follow along at home. We're going to go smallest classification to largest classification. Now, we will start with Class 1A, six-man football. And one thing, long-time listeners may know, but if this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. We
Thank
appreciate you.
You
being here. Step then do six man. You're not a six
yes.
man guy.
I don't hate six man.
He doesn't hate six man. No.
I think it's very worthy. I think it's great for those towns. It's just not
your thing.
This is not my thing.
Not your thing.
You know,
and that's okay.
Just,
like you don't like
the spread offense isn't everyone's thing.
Here's the thing that I would come the slot T is not everyone's
yeah.
thing. Yeah. What I would say
ask
is
ask Gabe Brooks about the slot T.
Is that you would why would you say that on the air? I think you would be doing a disservice. It would be more harmful for you to pretend that you're like, oh, man, like I'm really locked in on six-man football.
Yeah, well,
you know
not.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Because then I think people would smell a fraud. You know what
they
I mean? I have
a terrible poker face,
too. I'm a noted fraud, but I do like six-man football.
But I am the fraud god.
You are the fraud god. So let's
what a dichotomy.
But what's so funny, we're going to start with 1A Division 2, which if there is a classification that bedeviled me in the final moments of this magazine preparation. It was 1A Division 2, and it's because of one school and one man.
And I know who that is.
That man is Grayson Rigdon. So if you have not heard the news, start spreading the news that Grayson Rigdon is no longer at Benjamin, where he won back-to-back state championships and back-to-back state championship game offensive MVP awards. He's a three-time state champion. He can lay claim to being at least on the Mount Rushmore of six-man football players. He is a spectacular talent.
For sure.
He announced right before we went to press, late May, that he was not going to be at Benjamin. His dad is an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. He recently, as reported exclusively by our own Corey Hogue on TexasFootball.com.
Scoops Hogue.
Scoopsy Hogue. What do you call it? Corey McScoopsy or something like that. He was going by something.
We'll figure something out.
That he was going to be playing at Columbus. 3A Division I Columbus. So we will talk a lot about Grayson Rigdon when we do our 3A preview in the next episode. But for now, it does certainly reshape the 1A Division II classification. Now,
it completely changes the outlook of the classification because I think for – this is me as coming at this from an 11-man guy. Mm-hmm. Watching Grayson Rigdon play six-man football, there is no player – one player in the state of Texas, in my opinion, that influences the course of an entire classification like you, because he was so far and away the best player on the field in every six-man game that I've seen him play, which is three state championship games.
Absolutely. And so here's – look, you're on the Premium Podcast. I don't mind telling you this. Benjamin was going to be our number one team. They were our number one team up until 2 days before press when it was announced that he wasn't going to be there. If he had returned to Benjamin – I would make the argument that they should be back at number one. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to be there. And so as a result, things get kind of crossed up. I will say this. Now that he is out of 1A Division II, I feel pretty good about our number one team, which is Oglesby. Oglesby was a state runner-up a year ago. Mm-hmm. They have an incredible couple of players, including Kyler Fawcett. They are going to be absolutely spectacular coming out of that right side of the bracket. We'll get to them when we talk about Region 4. But it is worth mentioning that there is a big purple elephant in the room because of Benjamin. They're not going to be the team that we thought they were going to be.
No, absolutely not.
And so that shakes everything up. So let's talk first about Region 1. Region 1, last year, you may remember, Region 1 was Klondike won the Region 1. Our friend Dalton DeGraffenried took Klondike to the state semifinal where they lost to Benjamin. They're the team that we like the best here. They've got seven starters back from the 2023 squad. Really like what they bring, especially from the athleticism perspective. Whit Harrell is probably next on that list. I really like what they've got coming back, especially the nine starters back, which, again, 9 out of 12. So got to do a little bit of adjustment here. But they should be pretty good. I'm really intrigued by Amherst. Amherst is a team that was last year, they made it to the – or rather they – They bring back eight starters from last year's team. They feel like a real sleeper. And then you look at a team like Miami. Miami was 12-1 a year ago, really surprised a lot of folks. They bring back a lot of talent, six starters back, but they're going to be relatively small, which kind of holds me back from really getting on board with them. Keep an eye on Fallout as well. They are also in the top 10 in 1A Division 2, Region 1. To Region 2, that's where you find Benjamin. They are a mystery now. Like, we don't know what they're going to look like. They lose the best player. They're not chump change. They weren't all Grayson Rigdon. They're going to be in the mix, but I do think this opens the door for a team like Jayton, who is going to be, I think, right back in the mix. Balmoray swings from Region 1 to Region 2, but they will be going in without Coach Vance Jones. Vance Jones retired around Christmas and basically didn't tell anybody, by the way.
When did you find out he retired?
Like April. and by the way,
it's a very Vance Jones thing to do.
And like
though,
I said, I'm tight with his daughter, too. Like, I know his daughter. It was kind of weird that I didn't hear about that. Anyway, keep an eye on Balmoray in that mix as well. Kroll's probably your sleeper in Region 2, but again, a lot of this just depends on what Benjamin looks like. They romped through the region last year, but Jayton, I think, is certainly good enough to do it with nine starters back from last year's ball club. Region 3. Region 3 feels pretty wide open, specifically because I think that there's a collection of teams that were close last year that could be on the verge of something big. Remember, they do not have a reigning state finalist, simply because I believe, was it? Oh, yeah. It was Richland, or was it Oglesby? Yeah, Oglesby was a Region 3 team last year. They swung to Region 4. So now Region 3 will have a new regional champion. We like Iredell to start the year. Iredell's got all 12 starters back from last year's ball club. They were a team that was an 11-2 ball club last year, a regional finals, lost to Oglesby.
That's pretty good when you bring back every single starter, and you were 11-2 last year. That's
Strawn's going to be in that mix as well. We love Dwayne Lee and think that he's got a ball club that I think took some lumps last year at 8-4.
Powered by Mary's Chicken Fried Steak.
And Oakwood is another team to keep an eye on there in Region 3. And then in Region 4. Region 4 is probably the power nexus here. You've got Oglesby, Richland Springs, Sydney, who's a real sleeper there, and then Cherokee there as well. They broke up Richland Springs and Cherokee in district play, which I think stinks, but that's just me.
It's interesting because typically, this is a six-man idiot here. Mm-hmm. Region 4 being the power nexus is kind of not what it usually... Yeah. Usually, the power is west of 35.
Absolutely.
And I guess Richland Springs is west of 35, but they're south.
I would say that this is at least the deepest region. You know what I mean? Mm. Because you've got four teams, or in fact, if you want to count the top 11, you've got five teams out in Rochelle in the top 11 in our class, in our preseason rankings. Oglesby's got the best player in Kyler Fawcett, but Richland Springs is going to be very, very good as well. Sydney brings back literally every player from last year's ball club when they were 7-4. Cherokee's got a little bit of reloading to do, but they should be pretty good as well. And
Pickle's,
so
Pickle's very familiar with Cherokee because she's not far from Llano.
Yeah, I would imagine she's got hot takes on Cherokee. Mm-hmm. If you're asking me for my picks right now, and again, it's so strange because we don't know what Benjamin's going to look like, I'll go Klondike in Region 1. I'm going to go Jayton in Region 2. I think Jayton gets Benjamin. I'm going to go with Iredell in Region 3, and then I'm going to go with Oglesby in Region 4 and for a state championship. I'm going to go Oglesby over Jayton, he said confidently.
Jayton won state in basketball.
They did. Jayton's very talented, and they're all very young, too.
They beat Benjamin.
They bring back a lot, Jayton's already had Benjamin's number as well. Okay, on to 1A Division 1, which was relatively quieter, although, considering, although...
There's some movement, though, right?
Matt Stapp, you had some six-man... You knew a six-man coaching change.
I was listening to our friends from Press Pass Sports, Cale Steed and Craig Speary, talking about May's coach,
whose Craig last Steele. Name
is Steele, yeah, went from May to Borden County. And I know Borden County because I've seen Borden County play at state. Mm-hmm. They have really cool colors, the baby blue and red pops. Mm-hmm. He went to Borden County because Trey Ritchie, who was the coach, retired. Mm-hmm. And Coach Steele, May has been very good. I think they played for a state championship not too long ago. He also is bringing his son, who I believe is an all-state linebacker.
He is. So that, yes.
And Borden County was already going to be good, I'm assuming. I can't ever remember Borden County being bad.
No, they're always
good. So they're going to be good, and now you're adding in an all-state player. That seems good to me.
So the headline on 1AD1 is, if you remember the story about the 1A Division 1 title game last year, which was Westbrook versus Gordon. Westbrook versus Gordon was considered to be either the last year of the Westbrook dynasty or the first year of the Gordon dynasty.
It's kind of that crossover, that passing of the torch game.
Gordon got them, and they start the year number one as our favorites to win again. They are absolutely loaded. Stryker Reed, Rye Reed, they are absolutely loaded everywhere at Gordon. And they
Stryker
are the team
Reed
to
is a great name.
Stryker Reed is a great name. That's it's Coach Mike Reed's kid, I think.
Yeah, and then Rye.
Right? Yeah, and then Rye is his assistant, who is also named Reed, and they are not related.
Huh.
It's a weird thing.
Well, Reed is not weird. It's a fairly common name. Yeah.
I always assumed that they were like brothers or cousins or kin
You would
some
think,
kind.
Yeah.
But no. Anyway, we've got Abbott number two with a new coach in Kyle Crawford taking over for his dad, Terry Crawford, the legend.
Got a new stadium in Abbott.
New stadium. Oh, I drove by it.
Isn't it? It looks nice.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The turf?
It looks great. It's right on I-35. Yeah,
I saw Kyle Crawford at coaching school. And I asked him, I was like, hey, by the way, I saw your turf. It's great. He's like, yeah. You know, I'm doing my Kyle Crawford impression. Hi, coach. He's like, yeah, they're not going to get the field house done in time. I'm like, buddy, you guys are living large there in Crawford.
That's a nice six-man stadium.
Very, very, very nice. Right off the highway.
Right on the left side. If you're southbound on 35 towards Waco, right on your left there.
Yeah, look on the left.
You can't miss it.
Really, really nice. But Abbott's going to be in the mix, and then we have Westbrook rounding out the top three. But I will tell you, realignment really did a number on these regionally. We'll talk with Region 1. Region 1 is kind of like a mishmash of a bunch of teams, like almost none of which were in Region 1 last year. For example, here are teams that we have ranked in the top 20 that were not in Region 1 that were not in Region 1 last year. Whiteface, Buena Vista, Rankin, Borden County, O'Donnell. All in the top 20, all were not in Region 1 last year, all are in Region 1 this year. The only team that is in the top 20 that was in Region 1 last year was Happy. Kind of no other place to put Happy. They got to be in Region 1.
Yeah, they're...
I would love to know the last time they weren't in Region 1.
Yeah.
Probably
never.
Time. But there's a ton of movement as far as there. We like Whiteface right now as the favorite there, specifically because I think they've got a pretty strong strong backfield. But Happy was a team that played in the, that won the region last year, but they have some reloading to do, just five starters back from last year's team. Buena Vista is probably your sleeper there, but they're going to be in the same district with Rankin. That will be a must-see district matchup there, 10 versus 13 in the state rankings. 1A Division 2, or 1A Division 1 Region 2 has been the dominant, dominated by Westbrook the past few years, and there's kind of no reason to pick against them. They are reloading. They graduate pretty heavy. They graduate, let's put it this way, and this is a classic six-man thing to say. They graduate 12 lettermen. That's a ton.
That's a lot for six-man. Now, I do recall Westbrook having unusually large numbers. Like, Westbrook had 2A numbers in their football program. Mm-hmm. They had like a JV team, mm-hmm. and like they actually like have good numbers in the program. So, but I think the guys they lost were pretty key parts of those that 3-year run they had.
You know, they're Mason Hall and company. They're going to be need to reload there. But I will tell you that if they're to be dethroned, it's going to be from somebody who is a newcomer to the region. Knox City, in from Region 1, is a team that's 11-1 last year. Shout out Danny Bayless. Mm-hmm. This is a team that we think has an opportunity to make some noise, especially in what feels like a thinner Region 2 than Region 1.
I want Knox City to make it to the state championship games just to see if Danny shows up.
If Dingu shows up.
Yes.
Newcastle, who's moving up from 1A Division 2, last year was a regional semifinals, lost to Benjamin 112-84 in a regional semifinal. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
But they are moving up to Division 1. They will be a threat. And then the real sleeper here is Water Valley. Remember, Water Valley bumped up to 11-man for 2 years in the last alignment, maybe 4 years.
2 years. Them and Sterling City bumped up together.
Yes.
Sterling City stayed.
Water Valley got their numbers back down underneath it. And so they were like, this is one of those things where they were 2-7 last year, but like at 11-man. Now they're bumped down to 6-man, where, by the way, they were a powerhouse, and they bring back 25 lettermen from last year's team.
Yeah.
Which at the 6-man level is crazy depth.
I think it's just a matter of does Water, because I mean, 6-man and 11-man, completely different games. Mm-hmm. The angles are different. The timing of the game is different. How quick does that 6-man kind of muscle memory trigger and kick in for Water Valley? Because those kids have played 6-man. They just spent 2 years playing 11-man. Very interesting. That's going to be an interesting case study.
Yes. How quickly can you readjust to it? Abbott is our favorite in Region 3 and kind of the runaway favorite. Gilmer Union Hill is probably second, but they've got some reloading to do as well. Abbott will be in the same district as Aquila, who's kind of their longtime district rival. They should be the favorite in that one. But Region 3 does feel like it's Abbott's to lose, and we're very bullish, even with a coaching change, that Abbott can make it work. And then Region 4. Now, Region 4, I will say for Jonesboro, or rather for Gordon, they're going to have to get out of a very tough region. Jonesboro very strong, May very strong as well, even with a coaching change. It kind of falls off after that. We do think Medina is maybe a sleeper there with six starters back from last year's team at a 9-2. But I think Gordon is probably your favorite in Region 4. And so if you're asking me what my regional picks are, go and ask me more.
I was going to ask you, we didn't talk about it. What's your take on Boys Ranch?
Drop them down.
I mean, that's another team that I'm going to be really interested to watch to see how they adjust.
Yeah, they are a fascinating ball club. Boys Ranch is dropping down from 11-man. They are going to be – it's kind of a long time coming that they – honestly, I think they should have dropped down. They've been opting up a couple of times, I want to say.
I know last line they opted up for sure.
They opted up to play 11-man. I know Lewis Kelly, and talking with him, I think he's the kids are excited about that. How well that translates, there can be an adjustment period for sure, like a couple of years of them. But I'm very intrigued, and I will say this, like, I think they're in a, I think it's been a long time, you know, that they won a playoff game last year. I think they can, or they made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since they won a playoff game. I think they got a great shot because I think they got an opportunity to win that district because I think the top challenger there is Booker, another team that kind of bounced back.
Yeah,
and forth.
Booker's been only been 6-man for 2 years.
For a hot minute, and so I'm very intrigued by Boys Ranch. I think they are a real another kind of real interesting case study. Obviously, they're an interesting story themselves, but I'm interested to see if dropping down and being the big fish in the small pond kind of pays off for a program like that.
Makes sense.
I'm gonna go with Whiteface in Region 1. I don't love it, but I'm going to go with Whiteface in Region 1. Region 2, I'm going to go with Westbrook. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, although Knox City is knocking on the door, so to speak. And then I like Abbott in Region 3 and Gordon in Region 4. I'm going to go with Gordon over Westbrook in a state championship game rematch, and I think Gordon does it again. So there is your six-man football preview.
Take those picks to the bank, six-man fans.
That's right.
Get your 45-point rules ready.
Everyone's logging in to make sure they find out who Greg Tepper picked for six-man
That's right.
football.
You're the expert.
We now expand the field from 80 yards by 40 yards to 100 yards by 50 yards.
Yeah.
To talk a little 11-man
real football. Just
okay,
kidding.
Stop.
Just kidding.
That's a
just
joke.
Kidding.
That's a joke. He's joking.
Just kidding.
He's joking. He's joking.
Kidding.
We're going to talk 11-man football. We're moving up to 2A Division 2. And overall, 2A Division 2, how are the vibes, Matt Sepp, in 2A Division 2? This is a good first question for 2A Division 2. How are the vibes in 2A Division 2?
I think the vibes are a 180 from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like last year it was almost a foregone conclusion. We were hoping that, you know, maybe some new blood would come across. But in the end, we knew Albany and Mart were kind of on a collision course. I think this year you've got two teams dropping down from Division One who have state championship pedigree that are going to shake it up into a Division Two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Stratford Elks. Talk about the Shiner Comanches. I think the biggest thing is it's a complete 180. I think we've got a lot of change in 2A Division 2, especially at the top with some of the teams to beat. I'm just going to be play spoiler right now. Stratford's my pick.
I think
going out on a limb, and it's
bold,
not a limb. They are
the number one team in the state.
Yeah,
they're so bold and brave.
Yeah.
I admire you so
on
much.
That limb.
I so admire you.
Yeah, they're going to be.
It does.
They're loaded.
I will say, I think you're right. 2A Division 2 does feel open, like, and available for teams to challenge for the top.
Yeah, Albany's won the last two, and I think they're very. They lost a lot.
It feels open for the first time in a long time, because like even before Albany, it was Mart, and like when they would lose, they'd get upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's a. I'll just say this. I think there's a chance that neither state finalist from a year ago is in this title game. Like there's a real chance that happens. I think we'll get to region by region. I think they're probably the favorites to win their regions, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make it to AT&T.
Agree.
I'm really intrigued by 2A Division 2. I think kind of. I would love to go back and listen to this podcast from a year ago. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to subject myself to listen to that. But
who wants to do that?
But I would just say that I look at this as a real. I think you're right. Real 180 from last year. So let's start with Region 1 of 2A Division 2. And in Region 1 of 2A Division 2, the number is where the number one team in the state resides, and that is the Stratford Elks. If you didn't know, state semifinalist from a year ago in 2A Division 1.
14-1 last year.
14-1. They bring back 16 starters, including one of the official players of Dave.
Yeah.
Of
there's a couple in the panhandle.
One of the official players of Tep and Step. We need like a list of like 10 of like Tep and Step's dudes.
Yes.
And Bryce Braden is officially a Tep and Step dude.
Bryce Braden, who is listed at 6'3", 230. With a 4.740, but I've been told he's probably more like 6'4", 245. Like, he is a monster playing 2A Division II football.
There's real Vernon Jackson energy with him, if you remember him from bowling.
Oh, yeah, from bowling, yeah.
Yeah. Real Vernon Jackson energy with him.
He's just big. He's fat. I mean, he started for them as a freshman on their state championship team at linebacker and was their leading tackler.
Yeah.
Like, he is a monster. He really personifies Stratford football. It's bruising. It's physical. It's punch you in the face, and it's get up and punch you in the face again. That's just what they do. And he personifies. He's also committed to Air Force, like Grayson Rigdon. So Air Force doing some work in the small towns. Stratford's loaded. They are by far the team. It's funny because you look in Region 1, you've got teams that most years you'd be really excited about.
I think it's a good region.
Groover brings a ton back from a 10-3 ball club. I think District 2 has five teams who are really good.
Mm-hmm.
Wink is got a 10-win team last year. They bring back the house. Sundown is always tough. Tahoka has like a banner year coming up. And I just think all those teams, I think you're just kind of playing for second. Like, I'll be shocked if anyone but Stratford advances out of this region.
They do feel like the prohibitive favorite in Region 1.
I think it's Stratford, and I think there's a gap, and then I think there's a gaggle of about eight teams that if something crazy happened and Stratford got upset, I think any one of those eight teams could win it.
Can I tell you who has got to be just like absolutely livid right now? The Steers of Farwell, okay? Because this is the team that I think they're a perfect example of, like, any other year.
Yeah.
Dropping down an 8-4 team from a year ago. We love what Darren Kelly's got cooking. I think that quarterback Jonathan Armstrong has an opportunity for a real breakout year. They got 15 starters back. This is the year. And they're dropping down with Stratford.
Yeah. And it's like...
and they're saying just like, guys.
What the hell, man?
I know. It's That's the thing is that I think you're right. That if there is a... there's one other region that I think has a prohibitive favorite, we'll get to in a moment, but I look at Stratford and it's just it's unless it's like a flurry of injuries, really hard
or
to imagine
some kind of fluke turnover game. They turned over 7 times, you know, something like that.
A state semifinalist with 15 starters, 16 starters back, moving down a division.
Yeah, that's the makings of a
not
state
winning
champion.
The region. Yeah, that's a state championship contender. Mm-hmm. Region two. Little bit more intrigue. I think you've got.
I think there's a lot of intrigue. In
I think.
Two.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How many teams can you see winning this region? There's one team that you can see winning the region, Region 1.
Mm-hmm. I think there's at least 3.
I can maybe go 5.
There's at least 3.
So our favorite in the magazine is still Albany. And I think the two-time defending champs, led by a legendary head coach in Denny Faith, they deserve their flowers. They deserve to start the year probably as the favorite, mm-hmm. right? But...
they've only got 2 back on defense. They lost their stud on offense.
They lost their stud on offense and defense in Adam Hill.
Yeah, Adam Hill was kind of a... I went to their playoff game against Collinsville in their regional final at Iowa Park, and Adam Hill was just all over the
man
place.
Man among boys.
Yeah. I mean, he was at linebacker, chasing down the quarterback, running for 180. He had like a one-handed touchdown catch, like just doing it all. And so, I mean, Albany got hit pretty hard by graduation. I think it's going to be really challenging. I'm not picking them to repeat in the region. I don't think they're getting out of region 2 this year.
Okay.
I think they're going to be good. They're always good, but I think there's some teams that on paper have a little bit more.
Like a team like Munster.
That's my pick to win the region.
Yeah.
I think Munster last year went through a lot of growing pains early, playing a really tough schedule, coach's kid at quarterback, playing as a sophomore, maybe he was young. They went through some growing pains, and they got better as the year went along, ended in the regional semifinals, and gave Albany all they wanted in that. Remember, we kind of thought Albany was in trouble against Collinsville because Munster gave them such a good game. I want to say it was like 18 to 14.
That's I've got that here.
It was a really...
It was 19 to 14.
Dang it, I was close.
Yeah.
I pulled that off the top of my head.
You're sick.
That's a sicko move right there. But it's and then the next week we're like, oh man, Collinsville, Logan Jenkins, you know, they're gonna and then Albany just hit the gas.
Yeah.
But Munster, I think, is coming in with a lot of confidence from that close loss. They bring a ton back. They've got Brady Carney's got championship pedigree. I think Munster is a team to really keep an eye on, but there's a couple of others that I really like inside of Region 2 as well. I think Winthorst is going to be – Winthorst is a traditional power. They're going to be good. Wellington and Clarendon are teams that I'm watching.
Wellington slides over from Region 1.
Yes. Clarendon is a little more tricky, even though Clarendon was 10-4 last year. They lose Lyric Smith, who was like their do-it-all kind of guy. They got to replace that, but – the second year under Aaron Wampler, you think they should know the offense a little bit better. Even inside of Albany's district, you know, I look at teams like Miles and Roscoe, going to be much improved.
Can I tell you, I'm big on Roscoe. Yeah, that was a 10-win team a year ago.
Much improved.
I think McCann back.
They, you know, and then even Munster's district, you know, Lindsay brings back 20 starters from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Collinsville, 2-time regional finalists, should be still in the mix as well. So Region 2, I think, top to bottom, it's going to be a lot more landmines for Albany, and I'm just not sure they can get out of
this
year.
There's not 9 teams in the top 21.
Yeah.
Out of Region 2. Like, it's a deep region that I think you're right. For Albany, the path got tougher, and we just don't know if they've got that guy.
Yeah, I think they're going to take a step back. Absolutely. Yeah, the path got tougher, and they're taking a step back, most likely.
Region 3. So there's Mart. Mart has won that region since time immemorial.
And has won it. Have they had a game closer than 30 points
probably
in the playoffs
not.
The past few years? It's
probably
been not until they get to the semifinals.
No. But I will tell you this. Shout out to the UIL, who, of course, they when they do realignment, I think people know this, but if not, they call us and they say, hey, Tep and Step, what would you like to see in realignment? Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, could you make Mart's district tougher, more interesting?
And, also, and put Everman in a one-team district. Absolutely. Like guaranteed district champs.
Coppell, same thing. They ask us.
Coppell doesn't need it.
And we deliver. They deliver, so thank you. But no, in all seriousness, I will say, District 10, nice little glow up.
Mart's going to have to work.
Will be very good once again. Not a surprise. DeMontreal Medlock back once again. But you add in Bremond and Chilton into the mix, and suddenly you got a district that you're like, okay, they're gonna get at least two pushes, I think, in district play, and then probably have to play at least one of those other teams, play them twice in the playoffs.
Bremond brings back quite a bit from a 10-3 team. Mm-hmm. Chilton doesn't bring quite as much back, but they're 25-3 the last 2 years. Gave Mart a really good game in the state semifinals last year, 38-24, very close game. They're not going to be intimidated by Mart by any means. So I think this is good for Mart, actually. I think this is going to test them and get those calluses on their hands before these later round playoff games. And I think Region 3 as a whole, you look at like District 11, I think District 11 top to bottom is improved. Lovelady is always going to be there. They're always going to be in the mix. Overton had a breakout year last year. They bring a ton back. Tenaha, we know they're always going to be in the mix. Even a team like Mount Enterprise. Mount Enterprise brings back 20 starters as well. They're going to be a lot better this year. So I think, you know, District 11 has improved. And you look at District 9, you have a team like Celeste coming over from Region 2 to Region 3. Celeste is really going to be a beneficiary in realignment. I think Celeste is going to run through District 9, and they're going to have a really strong record, and they've been playing that tougher competition in Region 2. So I think they're going to, you know, be a little bit more of a challenge for a team like Mart. So I think Region 3, top to bottom, is still Mart's to lose, but I think it's improved, and I think it's going to be a lot more interesting this year. When the years before, it was just like, who's Mart going to destroy in the regional final?
I will say, this is a real sicko heat check here, but here's a district game I'm interested in.
Hey, this is the podcast for sickos.
West Sabine and Deweyville.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, Deweyville, a 10-win season from a year ago.
Took some hits to graduation.
West Sabine, just 4-7 from a year ago, but dropping down.
And they bring a ton back.
Yes.
They bring a lot back. So
that's a real interesting, like, where are they on their trajectory? Mm-hmm. But they're kind of crossing paths here. And then there's Region 4. And Region 4, I mean, the headline is like, welcome to the party. There's going to be two teams. There's going to be one team that everyone talks about dropping down into Region 4. It's Shiner.
Correct.
Shiner, 5-7 from year ago, peaked late, got better as the season went on, and like that, they are the quintessential young team that got better as the season went on.
And now they're dropping, and they have a ton back.
And they bring a ton back.
You know, I remember talking to folks from Shiner who are head coaches in DFW, Ray Gates. he kind of said, hey, they're going to be really young this year. They're going to go through some growing pains, and he called it. He goes, but the next 2 years, watch out. Well, yeah. This is year one of watch out.
Yeah. Carson Schutte, their quarterback, is going to be their next star. Of course, the team that has dominated that region in past years is Fall City. They will not go quietly.
And they're in their district.
They're in their district. That will be a tantalizing district game. Granger is a team that I'm very high on.
Yeah, I think Granger is one of those teams that's kind of like New Home the last couple of years. This is probably their last run in Division II. Mm-hmm. They're getting a lot of growth, kind of overflow, spillover from Austin. And so I think Granger is a team that the last 2 years in Division II is going to try to take advantage of that and make a deep run, you know, in spite of their superintendent.
Burton.
I'm just kidding, Miss Jenny.
Burton, 6-5 from a year ago, but that kind of comes with, like, didn't they forfeit some games?
That was the year before. Yeah.
Well, great job, Greg.
Burton's always in the mix, though. They're always tough.
Allow me to present to you the mystery box of Region 4. Do you know where I'm going?
No.
Let's talk about Junction. Okay. Junction, the team that was just 6-5 a year ago. They're dropping down, which obviously is very good. Messed up. They bring back all 22 starters.
It's crazy.
They bring back every single starter from a year ago. They lost A. Letterman last year.
A. One single Letterman.
A. Letterman. And I don't know. That is a team that, real mystery box.
Yeah, I think Junction's a team that if you look at the bracket and the way it stacks up.
You want to be in District 14. You'll be the champion of District 14.
I think Junction's got a chance to play Thanksgiving weekend, and then you're probably going to have to run into Shiner or Falls City in round three, right. And then that's when the rubber meets the road.
Absolutely,
as far as how good Junction can be.
So, Matt Stepp, I will now put you on the spot. Give me your regional champion and your state championship game.
Region 1, Stratford. Region 2, Munster. Region 3, Mart. Region 4, I'm going to go Shiner.
Okay.
And give me a Stratford over Shiner state championship game.
okay. Stratford, Shiner, and Tyler game. We're mostly in lockstep. I like Stratford in Region 1. I'm going to go Munster in Region 2, although I hate picking against a two-time defending champ. I just, like, I think Adam Hill was so integral to what they did. He was kind of all everything for them. He was really special, and so I need to see how they replace him. So I reserve the right to change my mind, but I will go Munster. I'm going to go Martin Region 3, but keep an eye on Bremont. I'm interested in Bremont. And then I'm going to go with Falls City in Region 4. I think that they make a... They stake their claim as it's still our house.
Okay, for I think for the Beavers.
It would that strikes me as you know what it is? That strikes me as Shiner beats them in district play, Fall City beats them in the playoffs.
It's tough to beat a good team twice.
Mark this.
Yeah.
In a state championship game, I am going to go with Stratford over Mart in a title game.
Okay.
Stratford over Mart in a title game. So there you have it. There's your 2A Division II state championship as we have recorded for 40 minutes. Look at us.
We're doing great. We try to keep this at about an hour. What are the odds we keep 6A at an hour?
0%. To 2A Division 1, do you remember in the old days of this podcast where we used to do like multiple classifications?
Yeah, we would do like 6A and 5A, and then we'd do 4A.
It's like a 2.5-hour podcast.
2.5 hours, yeah.
Who could possibly be interested in that? No. Shout out to the Dumb Zone. 2A Division 1. Is this the number one team that we caught the most like eyebrow raises over? Because I would propose to you that it was. And yet, I do think that when you think about it, this is the team that makes the most sense at number one. I am talking about the Ganado Indians, Matt Stapp, start the year number one. We had lengthy conversations in the office about this.
We had a conversation with Josh Irvin at State 7-on-7 about it.
We did.
He was not happy with you, Tepper.
He wasn't.
He shoved you up against that 7-on-7 tree.
He did.
And said, hey, listen here, buddy. You don't rank us number one.
How dare you? How dare you give us respect?
He was actually pretty cool about
it. He was.
It, so.
Here's the thing.
Interview on texasfootball.com.
I will tell you, we were having number one discussions. This is the truth. We were having number one discussions about Ganado from the moment of the final gun of that Refurio game. Were you at that game?
I was at the Timpson game.
You were at the Timpson game. But you were telling me, you're like, listen, this Ganado team... they're not an accident, and they are super young. And sure enough, Matt Stepp, they bring back 18 starters from a state semifinalist, and more importantly, they will not have to deal with the best player in 2A football. Like, they will not have to deal with a guy who won Mr. Texas Football and Terry Bussey. And they were in it with that Timpson team.
Oh, it was a four-quarter game.
Yeah, it was a four-quarter game.
They really gave Timpson a run for their money. And I think it was one of those things where after the game, you can kind of see that Coach Irvin was disappointed, obviously.
Sure.
But I think he was like, this was a great learning. He knew we got all these kids back. We just went up against a generational player. Mm-hmm. Fell a little bit short, but this is
real
something
team
that
of destiny
we can motive that can kind of propel us into the offseason. I know they had a great year in baseball. They had a deep playoff mm-hmm. run in baseball. They were great at state 7-on-7 this year. I think they went to the quarterfinals and lost like a 1-point game to Tidehaven. Like, you can see the kind mm-hmm. of momentum building here with Ganado.
Bryce Ullman, their quarterback's back. He was a stud last year. Landon Hicks, Logan Burris, Austin Pena, Kane Hayden—they're loaded. They're absolutely loaded. And if you are one, I think it's weird because 2A Division One has been for so long the same like handful of teams. A lot of the Region Four teams, honestly, that are not Ganado.
Yeah, it's been Shiner, Refurio, Mason.
Right, exactly. And then in the past year, last year is Timpson. That's basically been the story there. Now you have legit change at the top. And I think it's jarring for people to see a different team there.
Mm-hmm.
But Ganado is our pick to win it.
We were shocked when Ganado beat Refurio last year.
Absolutely.
Just didn't see it coming.
We thought they were a year away, but the year is here. Let's go to Region 1. Region 1 is there's a power vacuum because Stratford is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will have a new regional champion. And I've got to be honest, Matthew, I don't know if I have any idea who it's going to be.
There's some good candidates. There's some teams. There's good teams here. There are teams that
this feels like let me make sure I'm not putting my foot in my mouth. Region 2 is pretty wide open, too.
I think Region 2 is crazy wide open.
Crazy wide open. But Region 1 is in that mix, too.
Yes.
It's very wide open.
I mean, you've got Sunray, who another official Tep and Step player.
Yes, Armando Luan. We're going to draft 10 of them. We're going we're going to get to 10. So Bryce Braden, Armando Luan. That's the list.
Your boy Armando Luan.
VNA, write these down.
You know, that if it hadn't have rained, you were going to get a picture with your sweet boy Armando Luan. And you missed out on it.
I've met him. I saw him at like a player of the year.
I know. Right? You got to get a picture with him. Okay. But Sunray moving up from Division 1. They went to the semifinals last year in Division 2, taking the step up, but they bring a lot back. They still have that guy in Armando Luan. You got to consider them. I think District 2 has two or three teams that I really like. You know, you look at Abernathy also dropping down from 3A, bringing a lot back. New Home moving up from Division 2, going to be fast growth in Lubbock, should be you know, adjusting very well to Division 1. You know, I'm not going to say they're – remember a few years ago when the year before Post made their first state championship, I called it. I said Post is going to be a team to watch. Post is going to be a team to watch. Not saying they're going to play first state championship, but keep an eye on the Antelopes. They're going to be a lot better this year. You look at Sonora. You look at Hawley. A lot of good teams. I am bullish on Stanford. I think this is the year for the Stanford Bulldogs. Wayne Hutchinson going into year two, they bring a ton back. They've been playing. These guys are a lot of three-year starters. The only concern I have about Stanford is they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years and got beat in the first round. They have been to the playoffs, but they have not had any playoff success. Can they turn two first-round losses into a deep playoff run? That's my only, like, if I had a concern about Stanford, that's it.
Because here's the thing. I think there's a team within their own district that does all of those things that you don't have to worry about them flailing out of the playoffs in Hawley.
Yes.
Because Hawley has got that dude at quarterback in Keegan Abels. He is special, special, special. In Keegan Abels. And they've got number of other weapons. They were a regional finalist from a year ago.
Yeah, in a down year.
Right.
You know, state championship game in 2021, state champs in 2022, regional finalist last year.
They're loaded.
In the past 3 years, they've won 14 playoff games. And Stanford's won zero.
And how often can we say, like, here's the highest compliment I think I can pay to Coach Mitch Abels' ball club. They are losing two legit D1 guys. I know Deontay Ramon didn't go D1. I think he ended up in Midwestern. He's going to wreck shop, by the way.
Yeah.
But Chandler Myers and Deontay Ramon are like FBS caliber players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To lose those two guys at the 2A Division 1 level and for us to be sitting here and being like, yeah, actually, I think they might win the region. Like
Chandler Myers at Texas Tech.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I mean, a Power 5 team, Power 4 team. I am very bullish on Hawley. So, yeah, Panhandle is probably a team to keep an eye on, too. I mean, they're a team that,
I mean,
that
I saw them
18
play.
Starters.
So I was at the crazy Panhandle Tahoka game, which I think was 92. Do you remember that? When I popped up on Texas Football Tonight, and it was like 84 to 70 in the fourth quarter. It was like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm just like,
find the highest scoring games from last year.
It was and Panhandle offensively is low.
Panhandle 93, Tahoka 54.
Okay, 93 to 54. I knew it was a crazy high scoring.
Fourth highest scoring game of the year last year behind Liberty
Panhandle
Hill.
Hit their free throws going down the stretch.
Really buried them. Lyndon Kildare and Cumby, which was the weirdest Week 9 game. And then, of course, that playoff game between Hooks and Edgewood, where Hooks on 92 on them.
Yeah, Panhandle. Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about Panhandle. They're going to be really, really good.
The offense is going to hum.
Region 1 is
fun.
Is wide open, but it's fun with good teams.
Yes.
I think all region 2 is a little more wide open, like it's the mystery box. So, I don't know who's going to emerge.
So that's a good transition to region 2. Good job, you're getting good at this.
Thank you.
Region
professional
two.
Broadcaster.
Region 2.
What's so funny?
Like I have no idea what's going on in region 2. Like I have no idea. Because again, who won region 2 last year? It was, you are listening.
It was Toller.
Toller.
Who's gone.
Toller's moving up to 3A.
Yeah,
right?
Toller.
So Toller won Region 2. And I will say, for Toller, like, from an analyst perspective, like, thank goodness for Toller. Because if Toller wasn't in that region, we'd be, like, sitting where we are right now.
Yeah.
Like,
they beat
I
Marlin in the state quarter, in the regional final. They beat Marlin, and they kind of beat Marlin pretty bad.
And,
not as bad
and
as
now,
before,
neither of them are in Region 2.
No, it's, Region 2 is just, you took the two best teams out of Region 2, and you look at a team, you know, basically the last 2 years, there's been three different teams make the regional finals. Toller, Marlin, Crawford.
Yes.
All gone. Crawford and Marlin to Region 4, Toller up to 3A.
Guys, all I'm saying is, like, you need to prepare yourself for the possibility of, like, state semifinalist Frankston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like legit in the mix and a good ball club. Like
moving over from Region Three, I think Frankston is a team that you really, you know, this is the year that they've really kind of eyed that hey, we can make a run. Now, there's good teams in Region Two. You know, we're not saying that. It's more what you got a team like Tioga, second year under Zach Birdwell, went to the third round for the first time last year. They bring a lot back. Wolf City's coming over from Region Three, second year under Brad Smithy. They should be much improved. You look at a team like Coleman. You look at a team like DeLeon. DeLeon brings a ton back. DeLeon is loaded up for a big year. You look at DeLeon's non-district schedule, and you can tell their coaching staff feels like they're going to be really good because DeLeon is playing a who's who in the big country.
So let's talk about another team in this region that I think arguably starts as the on-paper favorite. At least they start the highest ranked. Axtell. Because Axtell, the dreaded 10-1.
Yeah, they pulled the dreaded 10-1 last year.
They go 10-0, flying high. We had Craig Horn on the show. He was feeling really good, and then Valley Mills rolled into town.
Yeah, it's a Tepper jinx.
It was a true Tepper jinx.
Yeah.
I apologize. They have all the pieces, 18 starters back, and there's two ways to think of it. Either, one of them is, hey, like, they just can't get it done. Like, lights get too bright, and they just don't have that dog in them, right?
Which happens.
Or you say, hey, this was a really young team that has 18 starters back from last year's team, and they learned a hard lesson last year. And we're going to find out which it is. I will tell you this. I am not going to pay, like, respectfully, I am not going to put a ton of stock into any Axtell result until first round of the playoffs. Like, that is where the bar is right now for them.
Would you go 10-0 the year before? That's where it is, yeah. So, it's totally fair.
They should be the team to win District 7. Shout out Italy, probably their biggest threat.
Yeah, which is interesting because Craig Horn used to coach at Italy.
But that is, to me, I need to see them do it in the playoffs.
Can I just tell you real quick? This is how I know DeLeon's going to be really good because Coach Marwitz wouldn't have scheduled this schedule unless he thought his team was going to be really good. Week one, Dublin, Class 3A team. That's their probably easiest non-district game. Week two, Stanford.
Okay.
Week three, Valley Mills.
Uh-huh.
Week four, Hawley.
Mm-hmm.
Week five, Munster.
How about that?
They're going to be good.
Yeah, they're going
to
be good.
That's a schedule of a team that says, hey, we got a chance to make some noise.
If you're interested in just like a...
He's confident in his team. I think he wants his team to play those good teams.
If you're interested in like a weird, like, not weird, buy a little bit of stock in this team, can I interest you in the Tomcats of Tom Bean?
Yeah.
Okay. 20 starters back from last year's team, which was a 6-4 and like came within basically a whisker, like a tiebreak.
Well, they were ineligible for the playoffs. They've been they're eligible this year, so they're going to be playing for something this year.
20 starters back.
Yeah, I think Tom Bean is a team to keep your eye on as well.
By the way, Hamilton's in that district too. No reason. We're mentioning Hamilton.
Yeah, no reason at all.
No reason at all.
Stay tuned for week one, Tep and Step.
Region three we go to the other side of the bracket, and now we have arrived at the fireworks factory, Matthew. Remember when 2A Division I Region 3 was the boring region?
Yeah.
When it was just San Augustine just wrecking every team?
And in the past 4 years,
it's been
Timpson.
I would suggest to you that it is the single most single most dangerous region.
A lot of interesting teams in this region.
And
Timpson's one of them.
We'll start with Timpson. They're the defending state champ. They deserve it. And there is going to be a notion for people to say, well, it's 2A and you lose a guy they're going to build a statue to.
Yes.
In Terry Bussey.
In front of the Whataburger and Timpson, there's going to be a statue of Terry Bussey.
Terry Bussey. You lose him, of course you're going to take a step back. I am not here to tell you that Timpson is going to be this godless killing machine like they were last year. But what I am here to tell you is that, like, if you think that they were just Terry Bussey, you just weren't paying that close of attention.
J.J. Garner is a borderline Division I football player in his own right.
I bet now, by the time it's all said and done, he is.
And now J.J. Garner is... J.J. Garner was the guy when Bussey was hurt in the first couple of games of the year. It was J.J. Garner's show against Dangerfield.
And took him basically into the final... Like, they had to bring back Terry Bussey for a last
in the fourth quarter, but they were in that game. Like, J.J. Garner is a... They bring enough back to where they're still going to be in the mix.
New coach, though. Kerry Thurwanger retired.
Yes.
So they make a coaching change. There's a lot of newness there. And so I think to me, I think is reasonable to expect a mild step back only because that bar was so high.
Yeah.
But I think that if you think that they're going to fall back to earth and be an irrelevant team, I think that you got another thing coming. All of that said, I do think that like there was a relatively decent gap between them and almost every other Region 3 team. We'll get to the almost here in a moment. Mm-hmm. That gap has certainly narrowed. And if you want to buy in on Honeygrove, I think that you are well within your rights on buying on Honeygrove.
Yeah. A lot of people, I think, in East Texas, kind of when our rankings came out, you know, there was some talk. You know, why does DCTF have Honeygrove so high? They got blown out by Cooper. They got blown out by Timpson. Mm-hmm. And fair.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've seen enough from what Honeygrove has coming back. We've seen enough during 7-on-7 to feel confident that Honeygrove's ready to take that. They're ready to take that next step.
They really
are. They've gone through their growing pains. This is the year they take the step.
Levi Beavers, Rylan Morris, they are loaded for bear there in Honeygrove. And then, by the way, a team like both Honeygrove and Timpson, who are our top two teams in the region, each have a district bunkmate that is going to be really dangerous.
Correct.
For Timpson, it's the almost that we were talking about earlier. It's Garrison. If there is one team, besides Ganado in the semifinal, that came the closest to cracking the Terry Bussey code last year, it was Garrison.
Twice.
They played them, I think, within 9 points and 11 points. And mm-hmm. I know that those are two-score games, but by Timpson, by 2023 Timpson standards, those are nail biters.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, those were the two Garrison games were two Timpson games that I followed very closely mm-hmm. because I thought there was a real chance Timpson was going
to
lose.
Now, they have to reload on offense. They bring their two starters on offense.
Yeah.
But they're going to be right in the mix.
I had a good conversation with Brandon Alvarez yesterday, actually, mm-hmm. about his team. And what he told me was they feel very good about their team, but the depth is not what it was last year. They were a deeper ball club last year. There's about three or four guys that kind of are going to go both ways for Garrison that are dudes, but they can't afford to lose those guys. So the depth, that's the key for Garrison is going to be health. If Garrison stays healthy, I think they can win the region, but they're very precarious because I think they're one injury away from taking a major step back.
And then the biggest threat to Honeygrove was a team that beat that Honeygrove rear end last year.
The Cooper Bulldogs.
It was Cooper.
Yeah.
And
it's Cooper.
They're probably thinking, like, where's our respect? And mm-hmm. and fair. They have got, if you've not seen Adrian Mapps, their guy, the guy they've got like their kind of do-it-all star, brother, this dude is a freak show. He is a freak show.
Cooper's a tough matchup for Honeygrove mm-hmm. because they're so physical.
Yes.
They are a line it up and smash mouth you team. I think Honeygrove wants to get out on the edges and play fast mm-hmm. and play kind of wide open football.
I'm interested in District 10 too, especially at the very top, Beckville and Wascom.
You know, Beckville loses that guy. They lost Texas Tech signee as mm-hmm. well. They lose that guy, but they still bring a lot back. Wascom dropping down should be a lot better. New head coach, Wade mm-hmm. Lawson coming over there. I think teams like Harlton and Hawkins will be much improved as well. I think District 10 is going to be a really fun race mm-hmm. for those kind of third and fourth playoff spots.
Region 4. Region 4 is where Ganado lives. But they will have to, like, we have gone out on a limb and said, like, hey, they won the region last year. We think that they're loaded for bear and they can do it again. That said, they will have to go through the typically very precarious Region 4, which I think got a little bit of a glow up too mm-hmm. with a couple of Central Texas teams swinging into Region 4 as well, mm-hmm. crossing the entire, like, you have to imagine, folks, imagine the NFL coming out and saying, hey, Cowboys, you're in the AFC now.
Yeah.
Like, that is what happened to teams like Crawford and Marlin who are now moving over to Region 4.
Agree, yeah.
It's a big deal. Refugio is fascinating.
Yep.
Jason Herring has stepped down. Drew Cox has stepped in to be their new head coach. Jason Herring, we've talked about, is a man that we have a lot of respect for. Drew Cox is not some stranger.
No, but
they also
lost a lot. Yeah.
Like, they're going to be a real, like, for the first time in what feels like a long time, Refugio is a real mystery.
Yes. We've lots of youth.
It feels like we've had a bead on Refugio for the last 10 years, basically. It's like really, really good. Depends on what their matchups are in the playoffs. There is a style of team that can give them trouble, right? Timpson can give them trouble. They ended up not hitting Timpson.
Shiner gave them trouble. Ganado.
Those really athletic Shiner teams gave them trouble. Ganado gave them trouble. Refugio, we just don't know what to make of them this year. Mason is interesting.
I'm big on Mason. I think this is the year Mason gets back. Mason's been good.
Yeah.
But since Coach Burns went to you know, administration. They haven't quite been the same. I think Mason's ready for a big year. I think they are, in my opinion, the second best team in Region 4.
Marlin is a team that was a regional finalist a year ago in Region 2. 14 starters back, a lot of other like years and situations, circumstances, we would be talking about them as a regional favorite. But I think they just got dropped into a much tougher region.
They got a new head coach, Jeff Rogers, taking over. We're gonna learn a lot about Marlin week two. They play Honey Grove week two.
Yeah, we'll find out.
That's a fascinating cross regional matchup. I think that's a game to keep an eye on. That might be a game I try to talk Pickle into putting on Texan Live.
We're
gonna talk about a really good small school game to put on Texan Live week two. That's a great game to put on.
Crawford and Holland in that mix as well of teams.
Yeah, so. Looking at Crawford, I think they're gonna be a little bit down. Watch out for Riesel, Holland. Hey, keep an eye on San Saba moving over from Region One to Region. San Saba's moving from Region One to Region Four,
which is Region Two to Region.
Were they Region Two?
They're okay. District Five.
But San Saba brings a lot back, and talking to Coach Aguirre at coaching school, they've got a sophomore group that's kind of similar to that group they had a couple of years ago. Keep an eye on the Dillos, kind of that upward trajectory.
My Region 4 heat check is Schulenburg, 21 starters back.
Yeah, bring a ton back.
from a playoff team.
And how about Weimer? Weimer brings back like 18 starters from a 10-3 team.
It is a really good
District 15
district.
Is really good.
Yeah, District 15 is going to be a lot of fun with Ganado, Weimer, Schulenburg.
Like I got Flatonia picked fourth, and just a couple of years ago, Flatonia was like the regional finalist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that is Region 4, which will be a lot of fun. All right, Matt Stepp, this is your legally binding regional picks.
Stamp it. Put it on. Go to Vegas. Don't go to Vegas.
Do not bet on high school football.
No.
What are your region picks?
Region one. I'm gonna go Stanford.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it. I'm going Stanford. Region two. I went back and forth on Axtell and Frankston. I'm gonna lean to Frankston. I think the East Texas speed is what puts them over the top in Region two.
Okay.
Give me Frankston. I hope I didn't take your Region two pick. Region three. I'm gonna go Garrison.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. I think Garrison. They can stay healthy. Has enough to get past Honey Grove. Region four. I'm going Shiner. I'm going Ganado. Sorry, Ganado.
You're not allowed to pick Shiner.
Yes.
In a classification.
I can't pick Shiner in Division Two.
I'm picking
one.
Everman in Region One.
Yeah. Ganado in Region Four. State championship game. Give me Ganado over Stanford.
Okay. We are going to be there. I think this is fun because this is you and I are usually in lockstep in a lot of things. I think we have a lot of big different opinions.
Okay, that's good.
I'm going Hall in Region 1.
Okay.
I'm very close to picking Sunray. You can talk to me
Sunray in the regional final, right?
Sunray in the regional final. I like Hall in Region 1. I'm going Axtell in Region 2.
Okay.
I know I just talked a ton of mess about him.
I was back and forth on Axtell, Frankston.
I'm going to go with Axtell in Region 2. I'm going to go Timpson in Region 3.
Going the repeat, okay?
I think
going five
Timpson,
in a row.
I think Timpson is going to play with a chip on their shoulder, a real nobody believes in a strategy, and they've still got that dude in J.J. Garner, and they were really good defensively,
yes,
too, last year.
Yes, yes.
And that is kind of lost in everything. So I like Timpson, and then I'm going to go with Ganado in Region 4.
Okay.
In my state championship game, I like Ganado over Axtell.
Okay.
In a very weird state semi final game. State championship game.
I like it.
Ganado Axtell.
New blood. That'd be fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
I think they'd be a big crowd for that too.
I think they'd have a
Ganado
crowd,
folks travel well. Yeah. And Axtell wouldn't have to go far.
No.
I don't know anything about their crowds. Like
Axtell's right there by Waco. They'll travel well.
Yeah. Exactly right. So there you have it. That is your 2A preview, legally binding. So please hold us to this and clip these and tell everybody how wrong we are.
It is hashtag disrespect season.
It is disrespect season. We love to be disrespectful.
Yeah, I've already seen some Twitter posts about, I just quote tweeted hashtag disrespect season.
Absolutely. Okay. That's going to do for us. We've got four more of these bad boys coming.
Yeah, I'm not telling you where I'm going this week because we're not there yet.
Nope.
We're almost there.
Keep your powder dry.
Yep.
Keep it powder dry.
We'll be back. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Talk about Class 3A.
We're going to do Class 3A. I don't know when you're going to hear this. We've got to come up with a release schedule, but you will. Do not worry. You will get all five season preview episodes of Tap and Step. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next time for our 3A preview on Tap and Step.